Morena and welcome to business commentator Rebecca Stevenson in the Tamaki Makaurau Auckland studio.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. Rebecca is the head of news at Business Desk. Now, a little bit different, but actually very, very 2021. Very contemporary story. What is the link between a K-pop band and South Korea's economy and New Zealand?
Yeah, it's a really fascinating story that's blown up this year. For those of you who don't know, a South Korean band, BTS, is really the biggest thing in music this year. They are breaking records left and right, dominating YouTube and the charts, and contributing, as you've said, to South Korea's economy. The band is made up of seven members, and it recently released its second English language track called Butter, which immediately started breaking some of its own records. The new single had 12.5 million views on YouTube in its first tracking week, more than four times that of the title that landed at number two, which was also a BTS track. It was the fastest video in YouTube history to surpass 10 million views, doing that in 13 minutes. And this record was previously held by BTS's first English language song, Dynamite. The new single, Butter, has also topped the Billboard Hot 100 song chart, and it's broken a couple of records there too. It's their fourth Hot 100 number one in the last 9 months, which is the fastest accumulation of four top hits since Justin Timberlake about a decade and a half ago. And then when you compare BTS towards groups, it's landed its four number ones fastest since the Jackson 5 in 1970. So what is driving this and behind this band is this absolutely huge legion of dedicated followers around the globe called the ARMY. And they're the ones driving the BTS downloads and music streams to increasingly new heights. As BTS quotes in Butter, "Go ARMY, right behind us when we say so." They organize like an army on social media to stream BTS's music on Spotify and Apple, and also watch the videos on YouTube. And they are very clear in their aim that they not only want to beat every other musician and band on the charts, but BTS's own records, which then in turn generates media coverage, pushing more people towards the K-pop supergroup. Now, this has generated some backlash. There have been accusations that the ARMY are gaming the system. But to me, it feels a bit like sour grapes. This is a strategy that's been employed by artists and their fans for years. And their record label, HYBE, which is formerly known as Big Hit, are really just beating the American artists and labels at their own game. HYBE floated on the South Korean stock exchange last year, and when they released Butter, the value of their shares shot up. They rose about 2.48% when Butter was released, compared with the overall exchange's rise on the same day of about 0.2%. And this new English language track has also seen foreign ownership of BTS's shares rise to 12.5% just from Butter releasing. In the initial IPO, foreign investors snapped up about 3.6% of the company. The band are also shareholders. They were awarded more than 470,000 shares in HYBE before the IPO. And that's a deal that Rolling Stone has said other artists will really be keen to emulate in the future. And the stock exchange and the shares are expected to keep rising. You know, the pandemic has really slowed down BTS in some ways because they haven't been able to tour due to the pandemic. And it has had these two smash hit English language singles since. So analysts are picking that once the band can get back out and tour, it will be able to cash in a really big way. And there's still seen to be a lot of headroom for the share prices to grow.
You're just going to have to help me with how the ARMY works again. Like, if you gave it a different name somewhere in the social media ecosystem, what would it be?
They call themselves the ARMY.
It's just absolutely dedicated followers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a fan base would be the old phrase to use, right?
Absolutely.
But a fan base that is organised and motivated, yeah, and very active and responds in a second.
Absolutely. Extremely organized, very structured, actually. So this was an original plan that was part of when BTS was originally launched. They launched their fan membership, the army, at the same time, where people could buy memberships to the army. That was just how it started. They've also had a really strong social media strategy from the jump. They go on a platform called V Live frequently and talk directly to their fans. They're very accessible. They provide a huge amount of content, which I think has really helped the fans, the army, to see behind the band, to see who they are, and people have become hugely invested in them. A good example, I think, of Butter was there is a New Zealand BTS army, there are New Zealand BTS army social media accounts, and when Butter was released, they were on social media putting calls out to NZ Army to stream, and then under those tweets or social media posts, NZ Army are responding and saying, "Yep, I'm listening. I've listened 15 times on YouTube. I'm now on Spotify." And they are constantly sharing information about the number of YouTube streams, the Spotify streams, and how they're going on the charts, with the absolute pure aim of ensuring that their band, BTS, is number one.
It's got its own particular phenomena, hasn't it, the K-pop phenomena, because it's kind of nationalistic in a way. The nearest thing I can get to is how Sweden might have felt about ABBA when ABBA became famous, right? Because one band or one musical genre just became so dominant and a source of such pride. But what else is it teaching us about business? Because they are also doing deals with other big corporates, aren't they? That's, again, driving the army into sort of collaborative commercial arrangements. What happened with the McDonald's thing?
Yeah, so very recently they launched a McDonald's meal deal. It was hugely popular, to the extent that, you know, in Indonesia, McDonald's branches were actually forced to close because they were so swamped with orders, they couldn't keep up. As part of this Macca's deals as well, they've put out a huge range of merchandise in the sort of iconic yellow and red, but with the BTS members modelling it. They've also done deals recently with Louis Vuitton to become the faces. So they're really elevated now in terms of being global ambassadors for huge brands that around the world are seeing as being, you know, the keystones of luxury and the height of sort of taste and elegance. And now the BTS is part of that.
So what is the link, I guess, to the broader economic plan or approach in South Korea? Because is this, they may be leveraging their fan base, but are others in government or in business leveraging them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people would remember a massive hit earlier called Gangnam Style that was done by a South Korean artist. Yeah. So Gangnam is actually the home of a lot of those record labels like Hybe, where BTS has come out of, and that has now become a tourism hub that people visit. But South Korea as a nation post the Korean World War has taken a very concerted approach towards building recognition and understanding of not only its culture and the country itself, but also its had a big focus on having national champions through the chaebol like Hyundai, LG and Samsung. And BTS and other K-pop bands like Blackpink, which is the sort of girl equivalent of BTS, are considered to be part of the nation's soft power push on a global scale. I mean, and they are just being phenomenally successful. Who would have thought that a few years ago, you know, South Korean bands would be absolutely dominating the global music industry?
Are there lessons to be learned from what's happening, I guess? Is there, something that New Zealand marketers could be tapping into here?
I think so. You know, probably the closest sort of thing we might have, you know, would be, you know, Lorde or the All Blacks or something like that. The All Blacks is probably, you know, the closest thing that we've got in terms of a marketing generator push that really draws attention to New Zealand as a country and a brand, and we can do a lot of things with that brand. BTS has just drawn so much attention to South Korea. There's been some phenomenal numbers that have come out in reports recently. You know, we're talking talking about BTS generating 4 trillion won for the economy. The Hyundai Research Institute has said that for every 1% increase in search volumes online for BTS, Korean clothing exports increase, cosmetic exports increase, and food increases as well. So, you know, I definitely think there is that idea there around really getting in behind things that are uniquely New Zealand, that are cultural. You know, BTS will perform in Korean national dress. They are very proud to be ambassadors for their country. And that's certainly something, you know, that New Zealand could look to emulate.
Well,
it's
an interesting thing with the All Blacks considering the Silver Lake deal, because this is sort of like where the rugby union was talking about wanting to go. It wants to go into esports. It wants to push into, it wants to use the sort of the so-called IT expertise and intelligence of that particular investor to really push into markets it's never been in before and push a brand. This is on the commercial side of what it does. But you're left wondering whether the pulling power of pop music will ever be matched by, I don't know, rugby players, forgive, they'll pull power when it comes to merchandise, they'll pull power when it comes to perhaps watching the sport. But you wonder whether the same effect could be replicated.
It's difficult because obviously a lot more people listen to pop music than play rugby, you know, but this is not something that has happened overnight. This is decades and decades of work in Korea in terms of building these industries. And in terms of the work, the actual work that the bands and the labels have done themselves is quite phenomenal. I mean, we're talking about often children who are recruited, found on the street, or auditioned for the labels when they're children. They literally move into apartments, they live together, and they are training day and night. So this is the kind of, it's a very concerted, controlled environment with the absolute focus all the time that these groups are going to be very successful. They're not allowed to drink, they're not allowed to smoke, they're not allowed to have boyfriends or girlfriends. They must be squeaky clean. I mean, who? I'm not sure that many
don't know how that's going to translate here.
I kind of want to sign up to that.
Now, the educational industry, the international education industry, of course, has been decimated really by the pandemic. Some students stayed here who are already here. There's been a small number, and well, there's been a number invited to come back, but I think it's only a trickle who have come back so far. How are things holding up?
Yeah, it hasn't been good for New Zealand students. In 2019, we had about 90,000 students coming to New Zealand from across the Asia region. It's just fallen right away. For Korea alone, it's terrible. I think we're down to about 2,000 Korean students now in New Zealand, which is down 70% from 2019 levels. They're trying to look on the bright side and saying there are about 500 Korean students outside of New Zealand that hold current valid student visas. I mean, they are trying to do things to boost that. There is a new deal that's been done that from March this year, students can begin studying in Korea towards New Zealand qualifications. There's been a partnership done between Education New Zealand and some New Zealand universities and a UK-based education provider. So they're trying to shore that up. But there is a long-standing education relationship between New Zealand and Korea. You know, RM, who's one of the rappers in BTS, it is understood, did study in New Zealand before he became this huge global superstar. And Blackpink, who I mentioned before, the girl group K-pop equivalent, Jennie, she's one of the biggest members in that group. She studied in New Zealand as a child, attending intermediate here and going to ACG Parnell. And Rosé, another member of Blackpink, was actually born in New Zealand. So there's actually a really strong and vibrant New Zealand-Korea relationship, you know, and companies like Air New Zealand and Skyline Enterprises were trying to leverage off this relationship. But of course, the pandemic has hit and changed everything. Air New Zealand launched direct flights to Seoul in 2019. They were really hoping that they were going to be able to boost the passenger trade back and forth and also get more air freight going. You know, that's obviously sort of been crunched down. But, you know, New Zealand trade with Korea has actually done all right, even in the face of COVID. It was up 1% in 2020 to 4.8 billion, you know. And when you compare that to our overall two-way trade with the world, which declined 13%, that's not a bad effort.
Rebecca, thank you very much. Rebecca Stevenson of News Desk.